Calling. No, White
Herring. War.
White Herring Resistance radio calling. White Herring Resistance radio calling. This is the White Herring Resistance right here in Warsaw, near Warsaw, Indiana, on a really dismal, drizzly, cool day. But it's going to be pretty warm today, they tell me. So at least if we get wet, we'll be warm. Okay. And guess what? On from the star of stage, screen, and radio, here he is, Stray Dog. Good morning, Stray Dog.
Hey, good morning from the eastern front of the empire this morning, where the top story on everybody's tongue is the Ebola virus.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? It's going just as according to plan. 2 weeks' time, you'll have an infected person in every state in the union.
Possibly so. I don't think it's going to stop, but, of course, first half the country is spreading panic and the other half is saying nothing's wrong, you know.
Well, hey, nothing wrong with kicking over a few 55-gallon drums of gasoline while this is going on, you know. Add fuel to the fire. That's what I say. Get them stirred up, they say. You know, anybody asks you, say, yeah, hey, didn't you know the one, they got one four blocks away that got diagnosed, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's feed into it.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
Well, you go with it. And I imagine all of our listeners, we hope we'll repeat it again, be ready for biological warfare. Have your gas mask, your at least a basic mop suit. That is an airtight suit with a some kind of polymer exterior. You don't have to go crazy like you see the on television that last intel you sent where those guys have those Kappler Industries sealed suits. They're like $5,000.
Yeah,
That's overboard. You don't have to buy nothing like that, but get yourself a good charcoal lined suit in case you have to evacuate. Common sense things, you know, a sign of the times. Will it happen? Probably not, but it pays to be ready. And white people will be ready. We're ready for it. Worse is better for the race. That's what I added on to that. Like, you know, worse is better.
Hey, tell me about the big the fish escapade that you had recently.
Oh, hell, I had a day off, you know, first day off in about a month, go down the beach, fishing. Nothing all day. I'm there for 8 hours. And I pull in the pole, and I see the pole's leaned over to the ground. I go to pick it up. The damn fish almost pulled me in the water. I'm surprised the pole didn't break. I'm there about 20 minutes. I get him close, and it's this giant stingray. I see him flapping his wings on the surface, and it was a shitty day, too. It was pouring rain down there, everything, but it was a day off, so I had to do it on that day. And, boy, what a neat thing. And he spit the hook. He rolled over at the end and just spit the hook, so it didn't even hurt him or anything. And I know because I've stepped on those hooks before on my toe, and just you work it out the same way. It doesn't even leave a hole. I don't know how it does it. I think the tip is so sharp.
Well, it doesn't have barbs on it?
Yeah, even with the barb, if you work it out the right way,
yeah,
exact way it went in. That's how those guys, you see those primitives down the Asiatics, the ones that came over in South America, hanging themselves by hooks and stuff, and you think, oh, my God, oh, my God. They don't really get hurt because the hook is so sharp. But anyway, getting back to the story, yeah, he got off, and it was too big to really keep, you know. I just keep a small cooler, but it's kind of neat to connect with nature like that, you know.
Sure, I remember when I was a kid, sometimes we'd take even a little regular straight pin and bend it around like a hook, and sometimes we could catch a fish.
Oh, sure. Yeah, kids, you do what you can to occupy yourself. That one kid, remember a story a while back, about 5 years ago, I think it was the Illinois River. He went fishing and caught a vertebrae for a woolly mammoth, and he sold that to the university for like $25,000.
Wow.
You could look that up. That's like it was in the Chicago News. I remember that. But yeah, you get outside. See, that's the theory behind the movie. I recommended this movie before, Logan's Run. It's from like 76. And in that movie, everyone lived in a controlled environment underground where those poor suckers thought that there was nothing but the metropolis and work and the city and the play area. And sanctuary was the outside, and that's the way humans have become now. There's no natural stimulus to affect these children that are growing up. Everything is all video games and multimedia movies with sound and vibrating movie theater, this kind of thing. It really mesmerizes them, into a bad light.
Wasn't that movie, didn't that consist of three groups? One that was a more authoritarian group running around the country, and the other group was sort of so-called democratic, and then I think there was another group, or is that a different movie?
No, it was a different movie. Yeah, this Logan's Run, the whole the outframe of the movie, don't want to give it away, but a computer controlled humans' existence in an underground situation because many years ago the outer layer of Earth had become uninhabitable through war, nuclear war. Well, over time, the outside of the Earth returned to its natural state, beauty state, and some of the humans were escaping this computer-controlled environment. And that's the whole story, is that the computer wanted to know where these people were going and sent one of their agents out. And it's a pretty good story if you ever – it's on the Internet, too.
We're getting close to that right now with the destruction of our environment. You see in California, they just put out a report that millions of gallons of dirty water have gotten into the aquifer. The oil companies were dumping it into the aquifer. So, I mean, California's short on water anyhow. It's a question of what the hell are they going to do out there?
Well, you know what theory I was thinking the other day I wanted to tell you was, out west, you don't have as many people who live there who care about the land looking, watching out. So if the companies wanted to do something like that, like dispose of their fracking water, they could do so pretty much pretty easily without raising an eyebrow. And that's different from like out east, back east here. you have like so many people watching what, because there's so little woods left. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But those people watch the woods. So areas out east have actually gotten a little bit cleaner, and are probably maybe the less contaminated area in the United States might be like the East Coast, Mid-Atlantic area.
Well, much of it is better than it was 20 years ago when the rivers were catching on fire.
Yeah, they cleaned the area up. There was no fish in the rivers in like the 60s. When I was growing up, the river didn't have any fish. And now it's loaded. But yeah, look at what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, right? You got that giant oil spill. And out west in the Pacific, you have drought and radiation. So, I mean, what's the safer place to live in the country? I mean,
well, you can't live without water. And, of course, this is they're dumping it right into the aquifers. Now, that's your main source of water. And, I mean, once that's polluted, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're coming down to the wire. Now, there's a lot of people that are conscious of the environment out there, but the politicians and the corporations just go ahead and do what they want to do because nobody ever goes to jail. Nobody's ever executed for environmental crimes.
Well, they don't stand up and make themselves a target. See, that's the thing. The people pulling the strings, I mean, you have to do your research to find out who they are, really.
Well, not that many people went to jail over the banking scandal a few years ago. I mean, there should have been people imprisoned or executed over that deal.
See, you're talking the higher end of justice, and who has that type of authority? And let's discuss, what is authority? The accumulation of money is authority itself. So the super rich, and this is why I think Vladimir Putin scored a lot of points, because he went after the super billionaire, a couple super billionaire Jews, those oil guys.
Yeah.
And threw him in jail. So that was like, wow, look. This and that's exactly what the Jew billionaire said was, I'm not going to go to jail. I have $1 billion. And Putin said, you're going to jail. So that scored a lot of points with the working man.
Well, I know, but still, some of his biggest backers are billionaires. That's a fact, too. So I think he cherry-picked who he went after.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it was them being Jews or not. I think it's overplayed how anti-Jew Putin is, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, you shouldn't look to leaders. You never trust a leader with that much power.
Like I said before, I read an article in the Jewish media that two or three, four years ago, his wife was hanging out down in Israel. Of course, he just divorced that one. How much connection to the Jews he's got is questionable. You know, it's like, you know, like our southern governors during the civil wrong struggle. A lot of them were pretending they were really pro-white and going to fight the federal government, but behind the scenes they were selling out. So, like I said before, and you say now, we can't have confidence in any leader with power, because power is pretty much bought and paid for.
There's always somebody more powerful when you're a bully. But that's a good point. But that was George Wallace, wasn't it? That was the governor of
Alabama.
Yeah, that speech. I listened to that speech on YouTube. They have at the his inaugural speech. You're getting reelected in '63. Segregation now, segregation then, segregation forever. That's all hot air. Like you say, he didn't send his state police to back up what his citizens believed.
Well, the night before, he stood in the doorway of that university down there, University of Alabama, I think it was. He went over to the federal judge's house that was administering these new laws and so forth in the middle of the night with a raincoat pulled up over his head and begged the judge not to jail him the next day when he stood in the door of the schoolhouse.
Jeez, he would have been a hero. He would have had people come and break him out of there.
Well, you have to study the early days of George Wallace to really understand him. He was very liberal, actually, and what happened was that he got beat the first time out for governor, and he said, "I'll never be out." And then he said, "I'll never be out niggered again." So then he knew which way the wind was blowing. They're all political opportunists. You find out days later, weeks later, years later, decades later, they all turn out to be just petty politicians, you know? Try to think of a real leader that we've had in your lifetime.
Yeah, he caved into him. Like, the thing would be, well, then I'll resign. Like, if the Fed forced him to integrate, he would have either fought or he would have resigned.
Well, Ross Barnett did the same thing, and Governor of Mississippi, and the governor in Arkansas. Hell, I knew his family. Some of them lived in California. Forget his name right at the moment, but he caved in when they came in there with the National Guard, and that was the time to stop it. If there ever was a time to have stopped it, it would have been a little in Arkansas. And if everybody had turned out with guns and so forth and said, "Okay, you send your National Guard, we're going to shoot them," things would be different. But
the freedom rides.
You can't trust the leaders, and you can't trust the followers. The followers tend to be cowardly and hypocritical, and the leaders tend to be hypocritical at least. So it can't happen that way. It's got to be people pushed to the wall, and then a small percentage of them come out with a revolution. And that's the way it always works. It's never the majority. Now, the majority may have sympathies with the revolutionaries. They may even give them a little aid and comfort, but that's about all you're going to get from the public.
Yeah, don't forget nature's role, too. Look to nature. If you want to know which way man will go, what happens when a rat population gets too many rats to sustain itself, colony collapse disorder, those kind of things. Always look to nature to see what man's path is. And you'll see you cannot have two dominant species, two dominant tribes of the same species running the show. One has to be dominant and one has to be subordinate. That's in any situation, really.
Well, just remember, nature's our ally, because we believe in adhering to nature and the system doesn't. The system's anti-nature has been ever since the Christian church got going strong, with denying nature and going against nature. But we, if we're doing things right, we are pro-nature, which nature tends to straighten out things as time goes on. Now, Si, we may get caught in the same situation that Mother Nature dishes out because we're amongst all these people, but ultimately, nature will take care of it.
Well, I'll tell you, Tommy, I look forward to getting a job burying all these Ebola corpses that are on the street one day when this hits in the wintertime.
Don't forget AIDS. AIDS is going stronger than ever now. Everybody acted like it was out of the picture, but AIDS is killing a lot of people around the world. It's definitely not gone. And a lot of the homosexuals are going back to their old practices, you know, of unsafe sex.
AIDS, that's mostly in Africa, right? I mean, they've curtailed it in the States.
Well, no, not enough. I forget what the exact figures are, but I read an article that it's alive and it's out there and it's killing lots of people in this country every year.
Wow.
So they're just sort of like, you know, how the news is. They go from one story to the other, one oh my God story to another, and AIDS is not on the table right now for Fox TV.
Well, and then at the same time, they only give you half the story because you got to say this affects mostly black people, but whites can get it. Because when the young person hears that of breeding age, that's a hell of a deterrent, even having relations with somebody that you could die from, you know, a little hanky-panky or something. Like, that'll turn a lot of smart young whites off from breeding is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I don't know. There's I've come to the conclusion that it's like the movie They Live, that when we talk about white people and talk about how many white people are left, that's not the issue, because a majority of the white people left have already left us. They may be biologically white, but they're mentally non-white.
They can be reprogrammed, and Tommy. See, that's the difference. You know?
Yeah, but we don't have the power to reprogram.
We do. You got to make up a curriculum. They can be brought back in as long as they have the good racial genes. You have to study a case-by-case basis.
No, I disagree. I think that to do that, you even in small numbers, you'd have to put them in concentration camps for re-education. But even that, a lot of these people are way beyond saving. And to try to massively convert them back with the opposition totally opposed to it and all the money they've got to reverse propaganda and so forth, no, you'd have to have an absolute dictatorship to pull off what you're saying.
You know, you have to remember, all the lemmings will assimilate to our side once it starts winning.
But what are we going to do to start winning is the question.
It's like you say, you wait, and nature, the curve is swinging now. You see, it's like building a bridge over a cliff. They got all this weight, all this biomass, the brown biomass in the cities. They're percolating, they're stripping the cities before our eyes, they're stripping the infrastructure. And it's falling. The biomass is getting bigger.
As far as individuals and changing them, it sort of has to be like the Masons' Lodge. They have to ask you to become a member. You can't ask them or petition them to become a member. And that's the way it should be with these people that are grown up and are in the middle of this putrefaction. They have to ask us. And we'll tell them what's going on and the whole thing, and then they got the freedom of choice, go one way or the other. But as far as a program to straighten them out, you'd have absolutely billions of dollars against you, number one, and you just can't. They're already niggers in the mind. That's what I'm saying. I mean, millions of these white people, no matter how nice they look and how blonde or blue-eyed or whatever they are and how white their skin is, they love the niggers. They're aping the niggers. They worship the niggers. They're into negrophilia. And right. they're not in the race anymore, you see. So imagine how small we are now after you take all those people out. I mean, they're 100% diametrically opposed to anything we say, and they're beyond the pale, and they will if they can hurt us, you know. So we got to quit thinking that we still got X number of whites. No, you don't, because they're already gone, just like that movie They Live, you know.
Well, on that, I wouldn't trust any of these people we're talking about. But the way I look at it is that. When they hear our argument, rather than disagree with it, they agree with it, but it hurts them because they know that's the losing side right now. They know it hurts them because they actually agree with that, but don't have enough brass to come out and agree with it. So they stay in this shell of negrophilia as a tradition of, say, like you're talking sports, all the nigger ball and sports. It's nothing but niggers, but to them, it's like a tradition of years ago, which they're going to a place of recreation where they become a spectator and just spend time.
Well, just so, remember, the public are always, they are always the same way. Whoever's got the power can mold them any way they want to. you look at Mussolini's Italy, you look at Hitler's Germany. With the right propaganda, you can get people going whatever way you want.
Yeah, it's like having a ring through your nose, the whole population.
But it's always been that way. The public has never been different, whether it's in the 1800s or back in Rome. The public is always the same. The leaders have the power to manipulate them to do what they want them to do, whether it's good or bad for the race. And the only way you can ever change it is have a powerful authoritarian people who force them to. And then maybe they'll get into the habit of doing right. But they're never going to do right as long as they're offered perks and privileges by a corrupt, rotten system.
Now, well,
and nature's going to help us, though. Nature's going to help us. There's several things that are going to happen that help us, but it's going to be a long haul. We're not even at the bottom of the barrel yet. And the white people have got to reach the very bottom of the barrel before the small percentage rise up and start killing and taking back.
Well, they can't grow their way out of it. In years past, they could always use the growth quotient to grow their way out of it. Now they're using industries that are running on net loss, like the fracking industry. For the last 5 years, they've posted a net loss for their operation.
They never have been profitable. It takes more to get it out of the ground than it's worth. And the big-time investment companies, of which I sent a deal out on that, have this thing talking about the future and how they're going to have Hillary as president. And they went on and on how they're going to frack the hell out of this country. It's going to be wonderful. Everybody can invest and make all kinds of money. And their plan is to totally just drill holes every goddamn foot of this country, which will be the end.
Yeah, but the landowners are happy because they're getting like 10 grand a month.
Most of them, succumb to greed, which is not abnormal. I mean, that's why you have to have ironclad laws to back up your environmental safety and so forth. And see, this is the problem. You've got the teabaggers and a lot of these kind of people out there, the neocons, that screaming, oh, the government's too strong. The government, they shouldn't be involved in protecting the rivers, and they shouldn't be in private. Private corporations should do that. Well, that's bullshit, because we know what the powerful corporations have done, just the opposite.
Ain't this a hoot? Listen to this. Consider this. People have long fled the inner cities to get out to a more cleaner, safer environment. And now, in the year 2014, we're finding that the outer layers of the states, the hinterlands, the forest and the hills, are being contaminated. While the inner city area, like where I live in New Germany, is becoming more pure and deserted. 1 in 4 houses are empty here.
Yeah.
So isn't that something?
Whitey fled to the outer limits and out to the countryside, and now they're chasing him back. They're trying to force Whitey back into the big cities. Are these the kind of whites that we really want, though? The problem is, to say white anymore doesn't mean too much to me, because I see how hypocritical and how gutless and they are. And even when they know they're in imminent danger, they go the wrong way. I mean, I see guys on TV that let them frack on their properties and saying, well, making lots of money, even though they're destroying the land that's underneath them. There's no way you're going to get these people to voluntarily quit until you break the capitalist system. That's what has to be broken. Because as long as they have that centralized power and money, you have no power and money. I mean, 2 or 3% of the world's population control all the wealth. We got to take it away from them.
Well, let's face it, if we stopped all fracking operations now, it's already for stunkered. It's already effed up. So,
well, I mean, yeah, it is, like in Colorado, but I'm talking with the plans of these investors that they sent out. I mean, it's going to be 100 times worse.
Well, the big gas companies drilled off the coast of Nova Scotia, and they have a pipeline that runs from up there. The pipeline's only 33% filled because those wells went dry up off Nova Scotia. So it's not like they're not looking elsewhere, but it's just right now they're fracking here in this country. How long will it last? I'm guessing like maybe 5-10 years. This isn't going to be forever. People forget, you know.
The big cherry in the deal for that they sell the people is, well, we can get you cheap gas. You don't have to be independent. You can be independent with your energy. Well, of course you can be independent with your energy if you want to destroy your country, destroy your environment. But the people buy into that. Oh, cheaper gas. If I get my gas a quarter cheaper a gallon, do anything you want. I mean, and also it goes directly back to population control. Why you need more and more and more energy? Well, because you're filling up the people with more country with more and more people. That's why.
Yeah, you know what needs to happen? You get a van, one of those big work vans, and you stack it with solar panels, and you go into those communities and install solar systems for them, solar heating, where you run an electric heater, and you say, hey, you don't, as long as you have the sun shining, you never need any gas.
Yeah, but what they'll do is tear them down and sell them for junk at the junkyard.
Yeah.
I mean, like they strip all the electric wires out of houses and stuff and anything where they can sell to the surplus guy. So, no, I mean, you know, our problems are not insurmountable, but they are insurmountable with the way we're fighting it. We must admit to ourselves that we have no control over it whatsoever. We're like men and women without a country, almost without a race. And so it's going to, there's nothing, no one thing you and I can do or 100 guys like us that's going to change this thing.
Well, don't discount the lone wolves. There are many thousand people like us that hear our voice and understand that they're not as Hollywood as we are, but they certainly share our feelings, but can't come out and be known.
Well, they can come out, but they don't come out because they're instructed not to come out.
Right, exactly. It would do them no good other than reveal their position. So they could give us ideas, you know, slip us notes, and we bring them up in a public forum to discussion. And the main thing is to have the ideas spread and be talked about and understand things that come out on the web about, oh, lone wolf is stupid. Oh, lone wolf is this. Like, where have they been? Lone wolf's been out since the 50s. You know, where have they been? Like, this lone wolf works. So you're going to have stuff come out on the other side that's disinformation.
Well, it officially got started I and Lewis Beam started it officially, Lone Wolf. And even though there were individuals who were acting as lone wolves, but as far as a title, it's pretty much, well, in fact, Lewis brought out Leaderless Resistance, and I did too, which was nothing. That was a plan that was put together by an ex-Cuban general. But anyhow, we told people that's the way to go. You have to be independent. And that's what leads in the end to civil uprisings and revolution, is people individually everywhere that it sometimes can come running, you know.
Yes.
Anything that degrades the system is revolutionary. Anything that degrades and weakens this capitalist system is good. And right now it's playing right into our hands by going to war. There's nothing will bankrupt a country faster than war.
No, not this country. We got how many different war plants? You got one near you that puts together cluster bombs, right? I got one over here in Tobyhanna, Pennsylvania, that puts this research one that builds the drones and all those scientific weapons and stuff. Oh, believe me, you could get a job if you were an engineer, electrical engineer. You could get a job as fast as you could snap your fingers at one of those weapons production facilities if you live near one. They're cranking out futuristic weapons. I mean, well, you've seen them, the exoskeletons, battlefield robots, all that stuff. They're working on that stuff.
Wait a minute. This is all done with borrowed money. All of it, and paper fiat currency. Now, there's a time when the people that are being borrowed from can say, hey, forget it. We're not going to do it anymore, or we can't do it anymore. So when you're all of this war material, everything, and almost everything they're doing now is on total borrowed fiat money. You can't go on forever like that. You can't. There has to be a collapse now and then. And
Can't they make their payments through sale of merchandise? That's how I think they sell so many planes, sell so many tanks, then they pay their creditors. You know, much like a person would do who has a high balance on his or her credit card. You know what I mean? I think that's what we're seeing going on.
Well, all that is, you know, one hand shaking the other, because the way that works is we so-called sell all this military equipment to some dictator someplace, and that equipment most of the time is in warehouses in the United States, never even goes to the dictator. But if it does, the money never comes from that country. We take it out in oil, we take it out in minerals, we take it out in bananas or whatever. But that money just circulates back to the bankers and investors into the weaponry. So essentially, it's a closed-loop situation that is not beneficial to the gross national product of the country at all.
So there's no money exchanges. They're paying back in commodities.
Right.
I see.
Right.
I see.
And
that,
and then we bankrupt the country, and then there's a revolution, and then we go over to kick the revolutionaries' asses, and the revolutionaries kick our ass.
Boy, talk about a predatory model. I've never heard anything more like a predator than that.
This is predatory capitalism at work, and that's the... In the economic area, that's the worst enemy of anybody in the world. On the social side, it's the religion. Religion is used to motivate people to go to war and all that kind of stuff, and for crowd control. So the twin enemies of our race that's worth being our race is high finance, predatory capitalism, and religion. If those two were neutralized, we'd be in a hell of a lot better shape, and everybody in the world would be in good shape, because look at how much material and property is eaten up by warfare. I mean, you know, these people in these Arab countries, they got along pretty good until we came along, until we got crazy over the oil and allowed the Saudi Arabians to run our state foreign policy.
Well, it's going to have to be cottage industry that takes the place of this corporate elite system, and that has to be done little by little. It grows like blocks in a building. Each town, each city has different people that perform services and tasks that are usually done by the big corporations. Like if you buy from Starbucks or you go to Disney World or stuff like that. If enough people boycott that shit, which that will never happen, but at least they'll start. You'll have, like in the old days, you have a cottage industry where anything you needed, you could walk like a couple blocks from your house and this guy's a shoemaker. Okay, here, I broke my shoes. Here's $10. Fix them for me. You know, and that's what I'm seeing is happening now, you know.
Well, a little of that. Fine. Some people move out to a small white town and so forth like that. But the problem is that the federal policies drain local communities of money and taxes and all that kind of stuff. That's a problem. Plus, every time you go out to a small town, the blacks follow you, and the Mexicans follow. If the blacks don't follow you, the Mexicans follow you. I can see this town right here that I'm next to beginning to fill up with Mexicans. I mean, the only way to find out is to go to some kind of street fair or celebration or something at the park, and you'll see how many there are. Or go to Walmart if you want to know how many Mexicans in your community. And Walmart here, I go up there, and at least 10-15% of the people now in there are Mexicans or blacks.
Drive by the center of town early in the morning between 7:30 and 9, and you'll see all the mestizo day laborers that stand on the corner.
We don't have that here.
Not yet?
Okay. Well, they're getting the jobs. They don't have to stand around on the corner. The guys, these stupid white guys are hiring them.
Yeah.
And the other white guys are too damn stupid to wake up and do anything about it, you know? Whenever I get a chance, I propagandize these guys around here with their, pickup trucks and their small businesses. I said, they're going to take you out. I mean, like in California, the guy would hire a Mexican, to work with him so he could buy a new truck.
Sure.
And the Mexican, then he's training his relatives how to do what he's learned from the first guy that he screwed up, the white guy. And then the next thing you know, the Mexican's got a truck and they're competing. And the next thing you know, the white guy's out of business and he can't even pay the payments on his truck.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's stupidity. Well,
it's free labor, because a lot of times the boss will beat the Mexican for his pay. I told you the scheme they ran in the yard I worked in. The Mexicans would come in, you know, Tiene Trabajo? Go with this man. You know, okay, come with me in my truck all day, you know, 14 hours a day. 1 week go by, 2 weeks. You get paid every 2 weeks. Oh, we can't pay you this week because we have an equipment payment. So another week would go by, and the Mexicans would put out their hand. You know, I was getting paid, but they weren't. The Mexican would put out their hand, and the boss would look at him and say, "What the F you want? Get the F out of here."
then these guys, like the CEOs of these plants that are hiring them, they act like they love them. They privately despise them, probably. But they'll use them and throw them aside, and for that reason, I would promote that the wetback go in and cut the CEO's throat.
Sure.
It wouldn't bother me a bit. I wouldn't lose any sleep at all.
No, I was shocked they could
do that. In fact, if the niggers or the Mexicans or any of them want to rise up and kill certain people, that wouldn't bother me a bit.
And see, the mindset is with the illegal immigrant is that they can't do anything because they're illegal. And if they say anything, that they will be deported. So the rich guy who owns a big construction yard with a lot of dump trucks and stuff who needs grunt labor to work around these machines, these diesels, a lot of people don't like that stuff because it's unpleasant for a lot of people. But these Mexicans come and what's the answer? I don't know. I don't see it ever changing.
The history of capitalism or mercantilism has always been slavery in one form or another. They have to have slavery so they can accumulate vast amounts of money and live as powerful people. That's how the 2 or 3% control all the wealth, most of the wealth in the country and the world. So the whole capitalist predatory system is based on slavery. You can call it one thing. You can call it chattel slavery, where they're on the plantation. You can call it wage slavery and so forth. It's always to depress the wages and hire anybody who'll work for cheaper. And so there's nothing new about this. I mean, the same guys that ran slave labor on the plantations are the same guys, the offspring that are running these companies and sweatshops and so forth. So yeah, nothing changes. It's always just the poor classes, the working classes, in a struggle to survive against the predatory capitalist. And the right wing, they call me a Bolshevik. But it's true, and I don't care what you call it, you got to fight against it. But if you can get the snake eating its own tail, then you got something going. In other words, don't go along with their bullshit. If they're, you know, bad news is good news to us. When I get that Wall Street Journal, and every morning I read these articles, these negative articles about, for the rich class, right? And I'm laughing, and my gal says, "What are you laughing about?" "Worse is better," I say. "Worse is better. Bring it all down, God damn it!" Now there's going to have to be millions of white people suffer, but they had a chance to listen. I don't let them off the hook. I mean, I was on the TV about every day back in the day, preaching to the people of California, stop this influx. Jail these CEOs and so forth, and you see how far I got. I mean,
Simpson Mazzoli, they don't enforce it.
Of course not. They were talking about that on TV the other day. They pass laws, and nothing changes because they don't enforce the law.
Sure, we got litter laws here. I look outside and the street's full of litter. So what do you tell me?
Yeah.
You know? I had a point on it. I forgot what I wanted to say.
Oh, you too? I got to turn this volume down a little bit. Let's see.
Not voting. And that's a powerful statement, really.
Well, that's why they wouldn't allow them to have the new law on that, and that was the law that says none of the above. And they tried to pass it in California. They tried to pass it, I think, in a couple of other states, but these federal judges, which I've always told people, federal judges are not to defend you. The federal judges are the guardians of the system, of the central federal government, which in turn is controlled by the powerful corporations and the rich. And so how do you ever expect to change? They never could get it through. I mean, you know, if you lived in a so-called democracy, if you wanted to put a rule on the books that you could vote none of the above, you could. That just shows you what a sham their so-called democracy is, which we never had democracy in this country. Of course, democracy never works anyhow, any more than communism. Neither one worked.
That's Ralph Nader's big thing, none of the above. He was on C-SPAN the other day. I guess he's got a new book out.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
He's still going. So
anyhow, individually, we have our morals and our mores and all that kind of stuff, and we can influence a few people, even to get their mind right, even if they don't do right. But beyond that, the only thing we can pray for is collapse.
Well, agitate where you can. That's the thing. And try to offend people. These right-wingers, you know what? And I don't I agree with one of the commenters about the radio show. I don't assign left-wing with something bad. Like when left-wing or right-wing, we should both work together against the system. I don't see either side as being so-called bad.
Yeah, but the right wing has generally always been on the side of the capitalists. And so naturally, we should have been known as a left-wing racial struggle.
Sure.
Because even the whole idea of left-right came out of the French government, when the king had the guy he feared, he was concerned about the most, sit on his left, and the one he was concerned about the least that supported the king on the right, and so that he had a sword that he could swing it on the left if they got too huffy. And the right was always there to support the king. So the racial struggle was more, much more left wing in the old days, and more pro labor. And even the Klan even supported socialist politicians back in the 20s up in Wisconsin and I think Minnesota. See, the war is what screwed it all up. And of course, that was all put up anyhow. Roosevelt had to have a way of getting rid of the Depression. And you can't get rid of a Depression naturally very easy. So they go to war, and suddenly the floodgates open, all kinds of money comes out for armament, and the Depression was over, you know. It's like this right now, but they can't do it anymore because they're running out of credit. They like to do that now here and have wars, and that would relieve the stagnancy in the economy, but it doesn't.
Well, they do now. They found the money. Do you know where they found the money? In the pension system. So you're going to have my governor of New Germany, Chris Christie, a.k.a. Fat Tony, he will be the next president. And let me tell you, they are grooming this man. They are shooting him full of something because he looks like a different man than he did 2 years ago.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think
him, and listen to this, get ready for this, Congolese Rice as the vice principal. President, Bryce Principal.
I think she got too dirtied up in that Iraqi situation, and she was too close to Bush. I don't think any of them got a chance except Hillary. I think she's definitely going to win unless she does something really, really stupid.
Hillary Clinton is president.
Yep, I would bet the farm on that one.
How about that?
But she could still, you never know, she could drop dead. I mean, you know, she's had these fainting spells and stuff like that, and some people think her health is a lot worse than it she's talking about, but I don't know.
Shooting speed to stay awake all them hours.
But all the big shot millionaires are going to be for her because she's going to go balls to the wall on fracking and oil exploration. She's not going to oppose environmental destruction. And so, they know that, just like Bill Clinton did, that she's going to be a shoe-in because the big money's going to be putting her in. And Republicans, they can't get their act together because they can't decide what they want to be, the Whig Party or what, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter either one.
They're ashamed of being somewhat pro-white, you know? And, they're so ashamed that they got to keep bringing blacks into the party. And if we're going to survive, we got to be like the Democrats. And you know, so the Republican Party's not going anywhere, at least for now. They still have the ability to win some elections, but I don't think they're going to go very far. They're not going to put a president in. They may put a lot of governors in, but the next president will be a lady. Or a bitch, whichever way you look at it.
Who will be her vice president choice?
That's a good question. I'm sure it'll be a non-white, probably a mestizo.
Because that could make or break the deal too. If they pick somebody that the public doesn't cotton to.
Well, what do you mean the public? I mean the public is look how they went for Obama. Look how the whites went for Obama. I mean.
Yeah, women dropped Hillary Clinton like a hot potato to pick up Obama. That was weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of contrived situations going on there, I think, behind the scenes. But it is amazing. Well, it was white guilt. You see, that's the basis for most of our problems with the white people. They've been taught to feel guilty about everything. We're guilty. We're a race. We're guilty of everything else. And so... you can't deal with people like that, you know. I'm sorry, we should have done. Oh, Christopher Columbus, we got to get rid of him as a holiday. Now Washington State has outlawed the Christopher Columbus holiday.
That's racist.
We can't call these football team, Redskins. You know, that's horrible because, you know, this is just like they took the guys in Korea, the Korean War, and brainwashed. They called brainwashing started being called that in the Korean thing, where they put these guys in a prison camp and then use sensitivity training on them. And the whole, but they found it worked, so now they use it on the whole country, you know, in sure. our country.
Flicker rate, it's called, with the television.
Well, if you look at the movie, the original Manchurian Candidate, you'll see how it's done. But they, you know, they have this hypnotic device called television, which I started out my whole career on working with television, but still. The television screen is a hypnotic object, you see, just like swinging a little ball on a string in front of you to hypnotize you. It does all the things that hypnotism is involved in. You concentrate on one light source. You become relaxed. Look into my screen, says the Jew, and then they give you the you know, they give you Fox TV and call it the news. And millions of white people follow Fox TV like Jesus, you know.
Because they actually think it's white.
Actually, the neocon right-wing Fox is far more dangerous in the long run than MSNBC. And a lot of people would argue with me on that. But the people who talk about motherhood and apple pie and salute the flag and support our guys in the war, those are the guys that are really betraying you the most behind the scenes, because they don't believe in any of that stuff.
No. Don't forget the Wounded Warrior program. They want to send those young people in the battle and then want you and I to pay for their rehab.
Yeah, $19.95 a month or something.
So many suckers that I know, you know. And they get that kind of glazed over in their eyes when they say, I support our wounded veterans. There's probably some Jew in a P.O. box that's getting that money from all these schmucks every month.
Just like the preachers.
Yeah, that's horrible. They're getting ripped off. The soldiers aren't seeing that money.
That shows you how dumb the public at large is. I mean, there are millions of people who shell out $19.95 every month for the... are heroes. Now, they're not heroes. They were men that were trained to kill. They were sent over there. They didn't have to go, sent over there, and then the indigenous people fight back and blow them up, and they come back with a couple of legs gone and an arm, and then they're held up as great heroes, and, you know, they have the parades and waving the flag and all that. I mean, you know, it's just... it's sickening, and the parents that get behind these guys and encourage them to go into the military, to go over there and fight for the United States, because if we don't fight those Arabs, they're going to take over the United States. Well, the way they take over the United States is with oil in the background, and Saudi Arabia has taken over much of the United States just with oil.
Yeah, and plus all the damn gyro shops are all towel heads
yeah.
down here.
And then now they got ISIS coming over here. Oh, bullshit. Where's their ships? Where's their airplanes? They're not coming over here. But I'm not that unhappy with ISIS, because it's a sort of an end of something that we caused, this government and the capitalists caused. And so finally they're all massing together for a fanatical Islam war, and we build it. This country built these people, ISIS. So now it's coming down to the wire where they're, oh, my God, what are we going to do about ISIS? Well, what did you do about the Taliban? If we'd have left the Taliban alone in Afghanistan, we might not like the way they ran the country, but that's not our business. We wouldn't be over there, and we wouldn't have lost all these guys, and now we got them coming back committing suicide all over the place. No, our country's become a warmonger country, and warmonger for profit, and using the excuse, they're coming to get us, they're coming to get us. And they feed it through to the people on national TV, and that's what's in their brain. Most of these people don't even know where these foreign countries are. If you, they ask on the street the other day in California, who's the vice president, and they were given all kinds of names, but the right one.
What could be better proof of the war industrial complex than the armament that was left behind for ISIS? Now, that's that armament that was left behind. If okay, we couldn't ship it back because it would cost too much to ship back. They could have at least taken the breech bolts out of all those howitzers, taken the firing pins out of all the machine guns and stuff, thus rendering them useless. And they didn't do that. They left them there, the weapons all intact.
They left it there for a purpose. They left it there on purpose.
Right.
This was all to rearm somebody else to be our bitter enemy, somebody to be scared of all the time. And all this is all a game. It's a such a dangerous game, but that's what it is. They arm these people so that the central government can scare the shit out of the population to where they'll put up with anything in this country.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped since Vietnam. I mean, we had a lull there. And when Vietnam closed down in 75, 76, there was a little bit of a lull till 1990. But you figure it's been a 30-year war over there. 1990
we started. Well, we're in 100 years of war. Start checking your wars out and your skirmishes and your police actions and so forth. They're about every 10 years there's a war. No, the United States has been involved in a 100-year war.
Isn't it amazing that the enemy hasn't made a real inroads into the enemy territory? I mean, if the enemy were fighting, like they say, oh, they're that strong, they have this much power, you would think they'd be able to do something back. But they and that's what makes me very suspicious. Who are we fighting? I don't think we're fighting any consolidated group or really just fighting for fighting's sake.
Well, now it's boiled down to a religious war, and ISIS is the pinnacle of a religious war, much like the Europeans that went into North Africa looking for baby Jesus' grave and stuff. They become more and more fanatical, and they're controlled by religion, and you're not going to stop them, and if they're going to march, they're going to march. I said to my guys, they're going to use air power to stop this stuff. They're out of your mind. they're not. It's hardly affecting any of them. I mean, they might hit one vehicle once in a while, but a lot of these guys are running around with Toyota pickups with an automatic weapon on the top. I mean, you know. So you're sending out jets that cost $100 million to shoot rockets at them that are worth $50,000 or $100,000 a piece to get one Toyota truck. I mean, you know,
yeah, it's funny as hell. And then when one of our planes goes down, gets shot down, the press release says, "Oh, due to a mechanical failure, one of our helicopters or planes went down." Yeah. They never admit that it was shot down by enemy troops.
That's real mechanical failure when you get shot.
But they never admit it. It's like the news is so censored. You get over the television.
So anyhow, the bottom line is, from my point of view, most of the white race, as we know it, in this country especially, are not savable, salvageable. Mother Nature may help straighten some of them out. That's good, but we got a long way to go. This thing's just getting started, and it's not going to be solved in our lifetime. I mean, that's one thing. Mine or yours?
What would Commander Rockwell say? I don't know. I know what he said about those stinking queers. Once you lay that stuff down, yeah, come over to being normal.
Unfortunately,
I think he accepted them, you know.
Unfortunately, George Lincoln Rockwell today would be pretty much passé as far as tactics and everything. If he would have evolved, yeah, and he may have evolved if he'd lived. And I think he was in the process of evolving somewhat. But to what I believe and to what a lot of other people believe today, Rockwell would be, I mean, he'd be way in the back of the pack, even though he did some good stuff and a lot of his men became some of my men, and so forth. But his tactics were extremely primitive.
Yeah.
And in most cases, non-productive.
Well, he could get away with it because he was so big, you know. He could get out of there.
Yeah, but Rockwell never had over about 25 guys behind him. I mean, you know, he had a lot of guys that wrote him letters and maybe sent him a few bucks. But in reality, on the East Coast, he had a few. And on the West Coast, he had a few. But he never had over 100 guys actively supporting him that would go into the streets. And usually less than 50. So even back then, it was pretty much a lost cause as far as that was concerned.
Well, he's a vet that knew that he got screwed over in the service. It was so stupid. You know, you put your life on the line for what?
And Joseph Tomasi was the prototype, just like Bob Matthews. He was the prototype, the guy who had it right, guerrilla warfare and unconventional warfare. And that's what it's all got to be to the foreseeable future. If there's going to be anything, and I think most of it would be wasted right now because there's not enough guys that you could trust far enough to really do any real damage. And then on the other hand, where would you hit the system? I mean, it's so overwhelming everywhere and all-powerful. There's no way that a small group of guys could make any significant difference. You could irritate them. I mean, you know, you could do like the Taliban and so forth have it done. You hit power systems and all that kind of stuff. But still, that would be just a self-sacrificing unit that the publicity and propaganda would overcome. I mean, it wouldn't cause any change at all. So, but individually, you could train and harden yourself and become more committed yourself to the struggle and know that if you're, when it really breaks loose and you're alive, you can go for the throat then.
That's hit all, them where they least expect it.
That's the only thing I can think. I mean, I'm not going to tell any young guy to go out in the flame of glory, even shooting some politician. I mean, you know, that day will come, but we're nowhere near having any chance at anything real, you know.
Stay tuned. Things will be very interesting in the next few weeks with the Ebola spreading and civil servants running away from their posts.
Well, now watch for yourself and enjoy yourself, because as the system implodes, it should make all our people who are really committed very happy.
It's exciting times, Tom.
Yeah, we can sit and watch it all on TV as the system commits suicide.
Get your ham radio going. We'll try to keep in touch if everything goes down, you know.
I'll send you a can and a few hundred miles of string, too. So I've got my can, you got your can. And
yeah, hey, new ham radio. I still didn't get one of those.
If
you find one, I'll pay you.
Study smoke screen, too. Smoke signals. We may have to go back to the Indian way.
How about a light tower? I got a mirror, a giant mirror.
Yeah. I think the most effective thing is when you get people all think primarily the same way. They don't have to act the same way. They don't have to believe everything the same way. But I don't need to talk to you to know what I know and what I want to do and so forth. And you don't have to talk to me.
Sure. Sure, and that's that's the way to stay out of trouble too. You don't want to talk about those things because you know and I know we're both thinking the same thing and we're ready.
Yeah, we're committed. We don't have to sit down. We don't have to go to meetings. These assholes, neocons that go to meetings, what do? They just they regurgitate the same stuff all the time, you know. And they're always careful not to be nonviolent, you know. We would never do anything violent, you know.
Okay. If they're watching you, yeah, I mean, you'd be violent, get away with it, you know. Do it anonymous.
But we're running out of time, Stray Dog. Hey, I saw a movie on, I didn't watch it, it's an Asian movie. It was on Hulu that was called Stray Dog.
No kidding.
But I didn't watch it, but anyhow, you might want to look it up.
Don't place any faith in the modern movies. They're all A lot of them are screwed up.
Well, this looked like one that was a little older. But anyhow, I got to get off here. We're running out of time.
Good to be with you, TT. Good to be on war.
Same here.
See you later. Keep your powder dry. 14.5 and
shut up. Keep your pie hole shut.
Later.
Here's another slogan.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Happy trails to you till we meet.